Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text Number 4. Please repeat. Sangsayo yam mahan brahman. Sangsayo yam mahan brahman. Dharagara sutadishu. Dharagara sutadishu. Saktasya yat sudhir abhut. Saktasya yat sudhir abhut. Krishne chamatir achyuta. Krishne cha matir achyuta. Sangsayaha. Doubt. I am this Mahan, great Brahman. O Brahman, Dhara, to the wife, Agara, home, Sutta, children, Adishu, and so on. Saktasya, of a person attached. Yet, because Siddhi, perfection, Abhut, became Krishna, under Krishna, Cha, also Matihi, attachment, Achyuta, infallible. Translation, the king continued, O great Brahman, this is my great doubt. How was it possible for a person like King Priyabrata, who was so attached to wife, children, and home, to achieve the topmost infallible perfection in Krishna consciousness? Please repeat. The king continued, O great Brahman, this is my great doubt. How was it possible for a person like King Priyabrata, who was so attached to wife, children, and home, to achieve the topmost infallible perfection in Krishna consciousness? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit wondered how a person so attached to wife, children, and home could become so perfectly Krishna conscious. Prahlad Maharaj has said, Matuna Krishna Padatal Svatova Mito Bibadyeta Grihavratanam. A Grihabrata, one who has taken a vow to execute family duties, has no chance to become Krishna conscious. This is because most Grihabratas are guided by sense gratification and therefore gradually glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adanda gobir vishatam tamishram. How can they possibly become perfect in Krishna consciousness? Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami to resolve this great doubt. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha. We beg all the Vaishnavas in this assembly, you please bless us that we can do some service and repeat something that we've heard from our Gurujanas and previous Acharyas, and try to say something in support of Krishna Bhakti. This is a very old question. A very, very old question. It's a question which still goes on today. I remember for many years, I had this question I couldn't understand. Why? What is the purpose of a grihastha ashram? We should make it illegal. You should ban it. How is it possible for someone to make advancement in grihastha ashram? Please consider some different statements from Shastra. Purva, in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, states, Ya prithivyam brihiyavam hiranyam pasavastriyaha naduyanti mana prithyam pumsakama hatasyate. Why do we get married? Someone may say, well, Prabhu, because I'm very, very lusty. So this is going to help? What does King Purva say? He says that a person who's very lusty can't satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything in the entire world, including mountains of rice, barley, and other foods, gold, animals, and all kinds of women. He may have a harem of thousands of women, but his lust will never be satisfied. Rather, he says, na jatu jatu kamanam upaboge na samyati havisha krishna vartmeva buya eva bivardate. You have a big fire and you want to put it out. Oh, here's a big can of liquid. I'll pour this on the fire to put it out. But that can of liquid is gasoline. That can of liquid is ghee. Na jatu kama kama na upaboge na samyati. It's not going to put the fire out. It's going to make the fire bigger and bigger and bigger. So people's endeavors in this world to try to satisfy their lust by getting married, it never works. In so many, many places, we'll read a few statements from different literatures about the danger for transcendentalists, and primarily it's speaking about men, the danger for men to associate with women. Manu Sanghita, second chapter, text 213 states, Sabhava esha narinam naranam ihadushanam atotana pramadyanti pramadasu vipaschitaha. It describes the nature of women, that by their very nature, by their decorations, a woman bewilders a man. She bewilders him, she puts him in illusion, and she contaminates him. Ato tana pramadyanti pramadasu vipaschita. So a learned person should be very careful how they deal with women. The Ashtavakra Gita describes, Udbattam gyanaduramitram avadharya atidurbalaha ascharajam kamam akshanchit kalam anantam anushritaha. When the enemy of knowledge, what is the enemy of knowledge? Lust is the enemy of knowledge. Kamaistaishtarita gyana. Krishna says in the Gita, people who are very lusty, they have no brain. So when the enemy of lust appears in a person, he becomes very weak spiritually. And at last, even though he understands that lust is not wanted, still very surprisingly, he continues desiring to fulfill. Jai Shishi Gornitai, Krishna Balaram Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar. He continues to desire to fulfill his lusty desires. This lust is the source of the greatest bondage, the greatest suffering, the greatest bewilderment. There's two verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one which appears in the 31st chapter of the 3rd canto, and another which appears in the 11th canto. And the verses are exactly the same. with just one word difference. Very interesting. Nata tasya bhavin moho bandhaschanya prasangataha yosit sangad yatapumso yatatat sangi sangataha. The infatuation, Lord Kapiladeva tells his mother. The infatuation and bondage which come to a man who's attached to any other object in the entire universe. That infatuation and that bondage is not as powerful as the attachment and bondage as the one has to a woman. Or, he says, yata tat sangi sangataha, association with people who are very fond of women. So, the same verse is there. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 14th chapter, the 11th canto, with one word difference. He says, nata tasya bhavet klesha. Lord Kapiladeva says moho. Krishna says klesha. It's not very hopeful. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. He says, klesha means suffering, of all the types of suffering and bondage, etc. The verse is exactly the same. And it's not just that the Bhagavatam or the Vedic literatures are sexist. They say the same thing about attachment to men, for women. Lord Kapiladeva tells his mother in the 42nd verse of the 31st chapter of the 3rd canto, Yam manyate patim mohan manmayam rishabhayatim stritvam stri sangata prapto vitapatya griha pradam. Someone who in this life, in his previous life, was a male, who was very attached to women, then that person takes birth in their next life as a woman. And as a woman, they look upon Maya in the form of a man, her husband, as a bestower of wealth, progeny, house, and other material assets. And he tells his mother, Tamatmano vijani yat patya patya grihatmakam daiva pasadi tam rityum rigayor gayanam yata. A woman, therefore, she should consider that her husband, her house, and her children are all the arrangement of the external energy of the Lord for her death. Just as a deer should understand that when he hears a very sweet flute song of the hunter, that very sweet flute song of the hunter is a song of death. In his Bhajan Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that after doing puja, every day a devotee should recite, and he gives a few verses, one of which, Sangsara Sagodanato, Putra Mitra Giha Kulat, Guptaro Meyuvameva, Prapana Bhayabhanjano. My dear Lord, you please protect me from this fear. What is my fear? Sangsara sagaranato. I'm afraid of this ocean of sangsara, this ocean of worldly life. And in that ocean, there's different sharks and crocodiles. It's a very dangerous place. They're going to eat me alive. And what are those sharks and crocodiles? It's your loving wife. Your very dear, sweet children. Putra mitra griha kulat. And Mitra also, your friends. There's a saying in America, God help save us from our friends. You think about it. Your enemies, people who don't like you, usually they don't cause you so much problem. But your friends cause so much problems. And wife and children cause so much problems. So he says, Goptaro meyuva meva prapana bhaya bhanjanam. Please deliver me from this great fear. In his prayers to Krishna, in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Lord Brahma, he speaks about these materialistic householders. Tavad ragadaya stenas tavad kara griham griham tavan mohaningri nigado yavat Krishna nate janaha. He says, my dear Krishna, as long as they're not your devotees, someone's desires are thieves. Their homes are prisons. And their love for other persons is a pair of shackles binding their feet. So, Srila Prabhupada, many times, he would say, there's no such thing as love in this material world. There was one lady in 1973, Srila Prabhupada, a letter speaking about love and how we should love everyone. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back and he said, you refer to the word love several times in your letter, but the actual fact is that there's no love in this material world. That is false propaganda. What they call love here is lust only, or desire for sense gratification. So these are the statements generally we find in Shastra. And this is why Maharaj Parikshit couldn't figure it out. How is it possible that Maharaj Priyabrata could be a great devotee but also be a grihastha? I can't understand it. Because everywhere when people are attached to women, or women are attached to men, they don't have elevated consciousness. This is a very, very important question. It's a very relevant question for all of us. If we accept the statements that I've just recited as they are, then, very honestly, where is the hope for the majority of persons in this world? How are they ever going to become Krishna conscious? And an even stronger question may come. Does it mean that Krishna is only there for renunciates? Can you only get Krishna if you put on saffron, if you're a brahmachari, or if you're a sannyasi, and if later on as a brahmachari you get married? Does it mean, anyway, better luck next life? Does it mean you're just finished and you're going to fall down and go to hell? Many of these statements again and again say this. My revered spiritual master, Sri Srimad Gaurgovinda Maharaj, he used to say that brahmachari life is a very simple life. It's a very good life. Yeah? He said it's very easy to please Krishna as a brahmachari. Because Krishna says, Patram Pushyam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakti Prayachati. That Krishna is so simple, you just offer him a flower, a leaf, or a little water, and Krishna is happy. It's not so easy to please your wife. You can give her a little water or a flower. She needs some new saris, and some gold bangles, and a nice house, and so many things. It's very, very difficult to please a wife. So for so many years, I had this question. I don't understand. What then is the purpose of Grihastha Ashram? It seems like just some kind of concession for people who can't control their senses. And anyway, maybe you're not going to totally go away, but it's better than nothing. But then how do we understand Srivas Thakur? How do we understand Thakur Bhaktivinoda and Ramananda Roy and so many of our great acharyas who were grihasthas? We have to look a little deeper at this subject matter. We just read this verse from the 10th canto, chapter 14 of Lord Brahma, spoken by Lord Brahma. Where he says that, my dear Krishna, tavad ragadayastenas tavad kara griham griham. Those persons who are yavat krishna te janaha, who are not your people, your janas, they're not your devotees, then for them, their household life, their attachments are just like thieves. And their home, their griha, is just like a terrible prison. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Saartha Darshini commentary, has given a very interesting explanation of this verse. Very interesting also because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was a lifelong brahmachari. He said that in this verse, there's a dialogue going on. Lord Brahma speaks this verse, and then Krishna protests to Lord Brahma. He says, wait a minute, this is not good. If you speak like this, then many people are going to misunderstand. And they're going to think maybe that the Brijbasis, who are householders, that they're all in material life, that they're all in Maya because they're attached to wife, children, and so many things. So he says that to clarify this possible objection from Krishna, Lord Brahma speaks this verse, and Vishwanath elaborates on what Lord Brahma is saying as follows. He said, yes, that's true for most materialistic grihasthas. There's one lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in, I think it was in Bombay, at a Pandal program. To really get the purport of the lecture, you have to hear Srila Prabhupada speaking. It's a very wonderful lecture. And Prabhupada's speaking about Vanashram something. And he's shouting. And he says, Grihastha Ashram, Brahmachari Ashram, Vanaprastha Ashram, Sannyas Ashram. They're all ashrams. They're all places where we practice spiritual life. But this particular ashram, this particular place where we practice ashraya or shelter, is a place where we practice spiritual life, but it has a very bad name. Why does it have a bad name? I'll continue reading this from this purport of Vishwanath. But Vishwanath, in another purport, he says that actually there's no inherent suffering in the Grihastha ashram. I'll repeat that. There's no inherent suffering in the Grihastha ashram. If you think there's some inherent suffering in that, then you have a gross misunderstanding of our philosophy. There's no inherent suffering in anything in this material world. Once one disciple was ordered by his Gurudev, go and fetch firewood, I'm doing yajna. Yes, Gurudev. And he went and looked, he couldn't find any firewood all day long. Finally he came back to the ashram, he said, Guru Maharaj, I'm very sorry. I looked all day, I couldn't find any firewood. His guru became very annoyed with him. He said, go look in hell. Go to hell and look there. Yes, Gurudev. He's a very good disciple. So he went to hell, just like sometimes we go to Delhi. And we distribute books, so we go to New York or some other place, another synonym for hell. And we sell books there in the order of our Gurudev. So this disciple, he was wandering around in hell looking for firewood. And the Yamadutas noticed him, and they went to Yamaraj and they said, hey, boss, I don't think this guy belongs here. And Yamaraj went to him and he said, what are you doing here? He said, my Guru Maharaj told me I should come here and get some firewood. And Yamaraj looked at him and he smiled. Such a very simple, sincere devotee. And Yamaraj said, well, there's a lot of fire here. But we don't have any wood. People, they bring the fire with them. So in the same way, there's no inherent suffering in the Grihastha ashram, but we bring it with us. The suffering is because we misbehave in the Grihastha ashram. We're not treating it as an ashram. I'll say something very unpalatable. I am a Grihastha, so I can say this thing. Don't mind. Why do most people get married? Are they getting married so they make more spiritual advancement? Are they getting married to take shelter of an ashram? Are they getting married so they can do more service, so they can advance in their bhajan? It's a question. I'm not going to give an answer, but we should think about it. If they're not getting married for those reasons, then we can easily understand why they have some difficulty. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that actually the suffering that people experience in Grihastha ashram is not because of the ashram. The suffering is because of the expectations that we have. I'll get married to her. She's a devotee. She joined the temple 6 weeks ago and she's never missed a Mangal Artik. She's like a pure devotee. And she'll serve me and she'll offer obeisances to me every day. And she'll cook for me and she'll be the ideal Vedic wife. And we'll be so happy. Or the lady, she's thinking, he's so handsome, and he'll be nice to me. And he'll always tell me, I love you. And he'll provide nice saris for me and bangles. And we'll always go to the temple, and we'll always be nice devotees. And everything will be like in the storybooks. So, if we have expectations like this, then you can almost guarantee you're going to suffer. Because ladies today in this world, there's practically no Vedic ladies left. You don't mind ladies me saying that. And there's practically no Vedic men left. I have a little comment in this regard. Many times I see in our society and in India also, the men, they complain about the women. They say, shut up, stand in the back, be chaste, do like this. And they complain and they become very disturbed. They see all the women, they're all fighting for equal rights and this and that. Someone who speaks like that doesn't understand Vedic culture. And someone who speaks like that is not a real man. Because Vedic culture is that culture where both the Prakriti and Purush have an equally important role in the culture. It's not that women are less than men. It's not that men are better than women. Men are Shaktiman. They have their powerful persons. And ladies are Shakti. And the nature of ladies is they follow men. That's their nature. Every culture all over the world understands this. So if someone's a real man, then he'll lead a woman. He's not going to complain, why are you being independent? By his strength of character, women will naturally gravitate to him and they'll want to follow him. So the fault of so much women's liberation or desires for equality in this way we see in the world today is actually the fault of the men. Because Vedic culture is a culture where the men are supposed to lead if they're strong. But because they're not strong, because they're, in the words of Lord Kapila Dev, they're yoshit kritamageshucha. They're dancing dogs in the hands of women, and they just want to please them, then they're following along behind those women, and the women have a very miserable situation because they have no one proper to follow. So Vishwanath, he says that Lord Brahma speaks this verse to clarify the possible objection that some people might think that Krishna's Grihastha devotees, and especially the Brijbasis, are also in Maya, and that their homes are prisons. And he says, yes, this is true for most materialistic Grihasthas. But what to speak of the household is a Braj, even the ordinary devotees of Krishna and other places are superior to these sannyasi critics. I'll read that again. What to speak of the household is a Braj. Even your ordinary devotees in other places are superior to these sannyasi critics. We should have a bit of an adjustment in our conception. Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, he says that we're all hankering after affection and relationships. And most of the time, our endeavors simply meet in frustration and suffering. And therefore, many people, after suffering again and again in relationships, they think the problem is relationships. So I'll not have any relationships, and then I'll be happy because there's no such thing as love in the material world. It's all bogus. And that love is simply a source of unlimited suffering and misery. So the way out of that suffering and misery is to not have any love. And Srila Prabhupada says, they become impersonalists. And sometimes even we think this in our movement. We think it's Maya for a husband to love his wife. If he says, oh dear, I love you, then everybody laughs. And they think, boy, this guy's really in Maya. We think it's Maya for the wife to tell her husband, I love you. Even such a tragic, bizarre, insane frame of mind. For many years in our society, we thought it was Maya to say I love you to our children. Many people, they thought like that. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote this letter, which we read, where he says that, I'll read again. You refer to the word love several times in your letter, but the actual fact is that there is no love in this material world. It's false propaganda. What they call love here is lust only, or desire for sense gratification. But Srila Prabhupada also said some other things. Let me read you from a lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles, 30th of April, 1970. In the second platform, Madhyama Adhikari, we should not only love God, but we should make friendship with devotees who are loving God. That is society. Our society is devotees. We should not only practice to love God, but we should make friendship and love the devotees also. The Brihannaradiya Purana states, Bhakti Stu Bhagavad Bhakta, Sangena Parijayate. We get bhakti, we get love for Krishna from the devotees. How do we associate with the devotees? We need an attitude adjustment. Everybody in the material world knows all about love. We saw the movie Love Story 50 times before we joined. We know so many love songs from the Beatles and different groups in this material world. I know all about love. I have a friend who used to teach piano. And if you came to him and you'd never played piano before, he would charge you $5 a lesson. But for people who've been playing piano for many years, he would charge them $10 a lesson. Why? You would think it would be the opposite? Because he had to unteach them. Because they thought they already knew all about piano. So similarly, when we come to this movement, oftentimes we think, I know what is love. I know all about love. I've been in love so many times. We don't know what love is. And we need an attitude adjustment. We need to understand what real love is. Real love we should experience amongst the devotees. But it's not that, oh, I'm having a loving relationship with the devotees because I go to the movies with my godbrother Nuhari Prabhu. And we're wearing tilak, so it's sadhu sangha. And we're good friends, so it's very nice relationship. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, Parasparanu Katanam Pavanam Bhagavadyasaha. He says, we should learn how to associate with devotees. We don't know how to associate with devotees. How to associate? We should come together and do kirtan and hear Krishna Katha. The Satvata Tantra. The fourth chapter describes Hari Lila Satochara Pareshu Satatam Twaya Karya Pritistavahare Yata Bhaktir Nanashyati. Very nice verse. Yata Bhaktir Nanashyati. Would you like to protect your bhakti? Would you like to keep from falling down? This verse tells us how. Hari Lila Satochara Pareshu Satatam Twaya Karya Pritistavahare. We should learn to love devotees who are speaking Krishna Katha. We should keep Krishna Katha in the center of our relationships. And then, Srila Prabhupada says, there is no love in this material world. But if you're keeping Krishna Katha in your relationships, you're not in the material world. If you're practicing grihastha ashram, as an ashram, as a place to do service for your Gurudev, then it's not going to bind you up. You're not going to suffer. Rather, you can experience great ecstasy. You can also get Krishna prema. If I gave you the option, if I told you it's an amazing thing, one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal associates, two of them, just came to the temple. And you can come and associate, but only with one of them. You have a choice. You can associate with a sannyasi or a grihastha. The sannyasi's name is Ramachandra Puri. And the Grihastha's name is Ramananda Roy, who used to massage the naked bodies of dancing girls, Hare Krishna. Who do you want to associate with? And Ramachandrapuri, I think he was a Naishtika Brahmachari. And he knew so many verses and things. We don't want to associate with Ramachandrapuri. Ramachandrapuri was a great critic. We're not going to hear Krishna Katha in his association. We'll hear Krishna Katha from Ramananda Roy. That's where we want to associate. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that Eho Bhaya Age Kaha Ar, when Ramananda Roy was speaking to him and telling him about Vanashram Dharma, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bhaya, this is an external thing. We don't care about that. In his Chaitanya Sikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives 8 different levels of respect. Naramatrira Maryada. The first one is, anyone is a human being, you should respect them. They may be a headhunter, a cannibal in New Guinea. Then Durteki Dandava, you offer respect from a distance. Better than that is Subhyatera Maryada. You respect someone who's a civilized person. They're a gentleman in England. We give more respect. But more respect than that, we give the Raja Maryada. Someone who's a king, a police officer, a politician. Because we should respect the managers. We should respect the leaders of society. But more respect than that, we give the Vidya Maryada. Someone who has some knowledge. He's a college professor. I met a professor once who'd memorized the entire Gita and thousands of verses of the Bhagavatam. Amazing person. We should give respect. But more respect than that, we give the Sadguna Maryada. Someone who has good qualities. That same professor friend that I met, he was also very fond of eating fish and smoking cigarettes. But he memorized the Gita. I once met a rickshawwala in Jagannath Puri. And he gave us a ride. And as soon as he started giving us a ride, he started singing beautiful songs about Lord Jagannath. Sadguna Maryada. I give more respect to him than my professor friend. That rickshawwala, who didn't have a big education, had good qualities. But more respect than that, we give Dvarna Maryada, someone who's following their Varna, and especially the Brahmins. And more respect than that is Ashram Maryada. This is the 7th position of respect Bhaktivinoda speaks about. And that especially means a sannyasi. But more respect than that, the most respect we give to Bhakti Maryada, someone who's a devotee. And that devotee might be a grihastha, a pocha grihastha, rotten grihastha. It might be a housewife staying at home. It might be a brahmachari in the temple. It might be a sannyasi devotee. It might be the temple president. It might be a 5-year-old child. But wherever we find bhakti, we want to give respect to it. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda in Jaiva Dharma, there's a conversation there between 2 devotees, one Yadava Das and one Ananta Das. And Yadava Das asks him, he says that Grihastha devotees, they follow the Vanashram system. Is it possible for a Grihastha to become a Vaishnav without following Vanashram? It's a very big question. And Bhaktivinoda, through Ananta Das, his guru, says, if you only understood how broad, how magnanimous the Vaishnav religion is. He says another name for Vaishnav Dharma is Jaiva Dharma, the religion for all human beings. Every human being is qualified to join Vaishnav Dharma. Even outcasts, Yavana Malechas, like myself. They can embrace Vaishnav Dharma and live as Grihastha Bhaktas. And he says, for them, there's no Vanashram. For those persons who break the Vanashram rules of sannyas, he says, they may, by associating with devotees, they may attain pure devotional service, even though they fell down from sannyas. And he says, then they may get married after sannyas. and they may be householder devotees. And Bhaktivinoda says, for them, there are no rules of vanashram. He says, then there are other people who misbehave. Maybe they're born in vanashram culture, but they don't follow vanashram. They've left vanashram. And he says, along with their children, they may take shelter of pure bhakti in the association of devotees. Then they are householder bhaktas. He says, but they're not part of the house, the vanashram system. He says, there's two types of grihastha bhaktas. Vanashram dharma yukta. Persons who are within vanashram divisions. And vanashram dharma rahita. Or persons outside the vanashram system. So then Yadava Das asked him, he said, which one's better? The grihastha persons who are practicing vanashram or the grihasthas who are not following vanashram? And Ananta Das says a very powerful thing. The one who has more bhakti to Krishna, he's the best. He says, materialistic society will consider that the one who's following vanashram, he's better. Because he's following vanashram, and the other person is an outcast from vanashram. He says, however, from the spiritual point of view, they're both degraded. Because neither one of them have bhakti. Yesterday, Jai Gopal Prabhu was speaking from this important verse. Anya bilasita shunyam gana karmadi anaritam. Speaking about what is uttam bhakti. Rupa Goswami says, anya bilasita shunyam. Your nonsense desires should be zero. And Prabhuji gave a very nice explanation based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary that it doesn't exactly mean you have no material desires. It means your goal is Krishna. Vishwanath in his Sartha Varshini commentary in Bhagavad Gita 9:30 says a similar thing. Krishna says, Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanya bhak sadareva samantavya samyaghi vasitohi saha. This is a sadhu. Sadareva samantavya. But he's a durachari sadhu. His achar, his behavior is not good. Then how is he a sadhu? Because he's doing ananyata bhajan. Pure bhajan. What is pure bhajan? Vishwanath says he's not worshiping the demigods. He's only worshiping Krishna. He's not taking shelter of karma yoga, jnana yoga, vanashram, or other things. He's only taking shelter of Krishna. And therefore, he's a devotee. He's a sadhu. Jiva Goswami quotes this verse in Bhakti Sandarbha and says, we don't want to hear from them because their behavior is not good. But they're a sadhu because they're only taking shelter of Krishna. So this is our primary consideration. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says that all devotees, if they have material desires, they must act according to Varna and Ashram. But at the same time, in Jaiva Dharma, he's saying, if they come from a Yavana Malecha background, they don't have to. How do we reconcile these two things? It seems like they're contradictions. We take shelter of Grihastha Ashram as an ashram, as a place to practice bhakti. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one article in Sajjana Toshini, he says that, listen carefully, very startling thing he says, a Vaishnav marriage is not the same as Vedic marriage. I'll repeat that. Vaishnav marriage is not the same as Vedic marriage. He says in a Vaishnav marriage, it's not that the wife is serving the husband or the husband is serving the wife. But rather they're serving each other for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. That's a Vaishnav marriage. And he says, why then is it that the guru generally doesn't want his disciples to get married? He says, because he sees they're not qualified. Because they don't want to put Guru and Krishna in the center. They want to try to enjoy something for themselves. And it's not a grihastha ashram. It's grihamedi life. And then there's unlimited suffering and misery. But if someone is taking shelter of bhakti, is taking shelter of Krishna, it doesn't matter what ashram then. Stanishtita shudigatam tanuvan manobir. In Lord Brahma, 14th chapter, 10th canto, he speaks this verse. Gyane prayasa murupashyanamanta eva. Give up your speculation. Don't take shelter of all this shastra and things. What your jivanti, your life, jivanti tan, jivanti satmukaritam bhavadiyavartam. Your life is bhavadiyavarta. Krishna katha, from the lotus mouth of a pure devotee, means someone not like my professor friend, who also told me that oh, Jagannath's very special, you know, because he's an incarnation of Buddha. He had so many strange ideas. But he was such a scholar, probably he knew more verses than everybody in this room put together. But what was his understanding? What was his goal? He wasn't a pure devotee. I want to hear Krishna katha from a satmukh, from a pure devotee. Pure devotee means someone who's not taking shelter of karma, gyan, or yoga, vanashram, who doesn't see those things as a goal. This is anya abhilashita shunyam. But jnana karma adi anabritam. Jnana karma adi, etc., shouldn't cover bhakti. Jiva Vishwanathan, his commentary explains that some jnana, some karma can be beneficial for bhakti. And Jiva Goswami explains this also in other purports in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami says that jnana and vairagya make the heart hard, and we shouldn't cultivate vairagya. But Jiva Goswami says in his purport, in the beginning, it can help us because it's too much of a distraction, all this sense gratification. So we have four principles, and it's very difficult to follow in the beginning. But if you don't follow these four principles, you can't come to the doorway of bhakti. Vachovegam, manasakrodavegam, jivavegam, udarapastavegam. This first verse of Upadeshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, says this verse is not about bhakti. He says it's about the doorway to bhakti. Controlling your senses, which this verse speaks about, is not bhakti. But it's the doorway to bhakti. Because if you're not controlling your senses, then how can you get bhakti? So Rupa Goswami says, anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anabritam. Why? Some jnana and some karma can be good. But why anabritam? It shouldn't cover bhakti? Vishwanath explains, they may cover bhakti in one of two ways. And he says, adi also means vanashram and renunciation. It may cover bhakti in the sense that you may think that's the goal. I want to understand what my position is in vanashram. And if I chant Hare Krishna mantra, then I'll understand my position in vanashram. Because the goal is to understand vanashram. If you think like that, then your vanashram is covering bhakti. Or you may think that unless I do vanashram or karma or yoga or gyan, then I can't get bhakti. That bhakti is dependent on these things. This is another misunderstanding. Bhakti is swarat. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti comes from bhakti. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, bhakti sanjayata bhaktyaha. The bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. Krishna janma mula hoya sar. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha. The birthplace of Krishna Bhakti is Sadhu Sangha. But Sadhu Sangha means hearing Krishna Katha together and loving each other. So it's not Maya to tell your wife, I love you. It's not Maya to tell your husband, I love you. It's not Maya to tell your children, I love you. Rather, you should love them. You should love them even more. But it should be real love. And real love means Krishna, not a stinky bag of stool and urine. Love means Krishna Katha. Love means doing service together. And some of our renunciate friends may protest, but if you love your wife or your husband like that, then when they die, you'll cry. You'll suffer. Yes, but that suffering's not ordinary suffering. If you have a loving relationship based on bhakti, when that person leaves this world, you cry. But that's not like the crying of a materialistic person. Indirectly, you're crying for Krishna and for Krishna bhakti. Everyone in this material world needs love. Everyone needs relationships. As Srila Prabhupada's dear disciple, Vishnu Jana Maharaj, used to tell the brahmacharis, he said, you should learn to have loving relationships, loving friendships with the other brahmacharis. Otherwise, you won't be satisfied. And you'll look for love in the form of a woman. And he said, sannyasis should love sannyasis. And grihastha couples, they should love each other in Krishna consciousness. But for persons who are very attached and who are suffering, they can't understand. Even we listen here that Maharaj Parikshit, he couldn't understand. How is possible for Maharaj Priyabrata to be a devotee and also be married and to be an exalted devotee? So this is a very, very important discussion in our movement. We should have firm faith in bhakti. Shada sabde, vishvas kai, sudhananish choi, Krishna bhakti koili, sarva karma krita hoy. Shraddha, faith means implicit faith that all I have to do is Krishna bhakti and everything else is taken care of. It means I don't have faith in karma. I don't have faith in gyan. I don't have faith in vanashram. I have faith in sadhu sangha, Krishna katha, nam kirtan, Srimurtir seva, and dam bas. I have faith in these five things. These things are going to make me happy. And I want to do these things in association with devotees. As Srila Prabhupada said, we must learn to love devotees. This is society. Loving devotees is our society. It will stop there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samabheda Bhakta Binda ki, Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo, Vanchakalpadarubhischa, Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we've gone a little over time. If anyone needs to do some service or something, please go and do that. But there's a question or two. Kabuji has one. Is there a microphone? Pass back to him, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you to Madhavanda Prabhu. Being an enthusiastic grihastha, we missed a good candidate. Being an enthusiastic brahmachari. It's not that we are criticizing you or something like that. I have a genuine question for our brahmacharis. So is it that there's no hope for a brahmachari to be a good brahmachari? We have to look forward to be a good grihastha also?
Your question is there no hope for a brahmachari to be a good brahmachari? We should understand, Lord Brahma says in the 14th chapter, the 10th canto, that sthanisthita shrutigatam dhanavan manubhya. We should hear Krishna katha, and then it doesn't matter. Whatever ashram is best for you, you stay in that. And it's natural that brahmacharis should have strong faith in the brahmachari ashram, because that's the best ashram for them. It's maya for them to think about getting married. And for a grihastha, the best ashram is a grihastha ashram. That's the best place for them to practice bhakti. And for some other people, the best place may be Vanaprastha Ashram or Sannyasa Ashram. But the Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's comments on this verse is very clear that it's not actually necessary to change our ashram. It's not that one is good and another is bad. They're all good for the particular devotees. And in general, we say, especially for new people, Brahmacharya Ashram is the best ashram, because it's very, very simple, as we were saying in the beginning. It's very much easier to practice bhakti.
And this is a question for my grihastha devotees. I was congregation preacher for many years. The question, as a good brahmachari can be a good grihastha brahmachari also, is that in one of the purports of Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
Do you?
Prabhupada said that grihastha means a grihastha brahmachari. Sometimes Prabhupada said that my sannyasi disciples, they're more than sannyasis. And some of them were, and maybe some of them are. They may be doing more preaching, more service. We're not attached to the color someone wears, the costume. We should see bhakti.
My question is that, is it possible to maintain a brahmacharya qualities in a grihastha to what extent?
Yes, someone can be completely maintain the brahmachari principles in grihastha ashram? Certainly it's possible. It depends on the individual. It's not that there's any fault in the grihastha ashram. The fault is with us. Prabhuji?
Thank you. Thank you very much for your nice class. How can we recognize in our society advanced devotees? Because usually it's very easy to give respect for renunciation and knowledge.
Rupa Goswami speaks about this in Upadeshamrita, and he says there's three different ways we give respect. Krishneta yashagaditam manasadriyeta. Anyone who's chanting Krishna's name. But how do I know? They may be a demon making fun of the devotees, and they're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I should respect them. They're chanting Krishna's name. And he says, more respect, dikshashti chepanati bishya bhajantam isham. Anyone who has diksha and bhajantam isham, who's worshipping the deity, I offer obeisances to. And nindadi shunyahridamipsita sangalabhya, I want association with and serve the devotee who his heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. Now, if we think about it, all three of these things are external. And they can be imitated. You can put on a Brahmin thread and jump on the altar and start waving some incense. Maybe you weren't even initiated. You just stole someone's Brahmin thread. You can, for 10 minutes, stop criticizing people. And people say, wow, look, for 10 minutes he hasn't criticized anyone. He must be a very advanced devotee. So how do we understand this? The answer is that we can't see who's a Vaishnav. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says we have to give up trying to see who's a Vaishnav, but we should act in such a way that they may want to see us by our sincerity. But then, what about in the meantime? I don't really have any sincerity. Then in the meantime, I should do something mechanical. And this is a mechanical formula. Anyone who's chanting Krishna's name, I respect them. Anyone who has second initiations, worshipping the deity, I offer obeisances to. Anyone who's not criticizing other people, I want to associate with them. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita said that anyone who knows Shastra, that person's an Uttama Adhikari. But then you might think my professor friend is an Uttama Adhikari. So how will you protect yourself? Krishna will protect us if we are sincere. He'll reveal. So the most important thing is the internal thing. We should cry to Krishna and Krishna will reveal. But at the same time, there's something mechanical, something external, which we should practice and we should respect, we should follow, we should encourage other people, respect anyone who chants Krishna's name, offer obeisances to anyone who has second initiation, worships a deity, and associate with anyone who doesn't criticize. Okay? All right, anything else to say? Maybe one last question. Prabhuji, can you?
In one canto, Narad Muni says that it's a little contradiction, I couldn't understand that. That if somebody is very lusty, then if the he gives an example of pouring ghee. If too much ghee is poured, then the fire can be extinguished. So if somebody is too much lusty, then he is, in the Vedic Shastras, he is given an instruction that you can engage. So what was that?
This is a very big subject. And it's controversial. And it's very difficult to understand. If you read Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami explains this elaborately. I'll say this much. That Prabhupada said sometimes sense gratification is like salt. You need to have a proper amount. If you have no salt, then you're going to suffer. But Raghunath Das Goswami had no salt. He wasn't taking salt. So according to a person's position, they'll behave accordingly. And the guru may give different instructions to different devotees in different times and different places. And some people, some allowance may be there for some kind of sense gratification. And by having that sense gratification, even by engaging in sex life, Krishna says, Kamo Smeed, Damaviruta Bhuteshu, Kamo Smeed, Bhadatarshiva, that I'm lust, which is religious lust. If someone is actually engaged in proper household life, and maybe they have sex life for the cause of creating Krishna-conscious children, then after a while, something's going to occur to you. Wow, when you go in the bathroom after your wife has finished her business there, there's a bad smell. And that body is really not as nice as we thought it was in the beginning. That's going to occur to someone, and they'll naturally become more and more renounced. That thing will happen. But this principle which you're speaking about, which Narad Muni says in the Bhagavatam, that someone, if they're very lusty, then they should have so much sense gratification, and it may put that thing out, put out that fire. That, I'll just say this much, it should be done under the guidance of Sadguru, someone who understands. Because it's going to be very different for different individuals. And what's medicine for one person may be terrible poison for another person. And these ashrams, our goal is not the ashrams. Our goal is bhakti. And wherever it's natural and best for us to practice bhakti, we take shelter of ashraya. And that's our ashram. That's the place that we stay. And it's not that one is better than another. Whatever ashram is best for me, that's the best. Okay? So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.